Bless you. Well, good evening. Good to see you all. Just a short reflection this evening. Just been thinking, actually I was thinking yesterday a little bit about if I were going to speak this evening, what would I speak on? And actually, you know, God's been good because he laid something on my heart which resonates so much with the songs that Faith's already chosen for us. I don't know if you've noticed, but life doesn't often work out the way we plan. I don't know if you've noticed that one. I was thinking back over the course of my life, if you like. I had it in my mind. I like to have things boxed off. I like to know where I'm going. I like to think that I'm in control of certain things. And so when I went out to work in London, I thought to myself, I'm in finance, I'm in the place where I want to be, and in my mid-20s, I want to be, if you like, a manager in this asset management company that I joined. By 40, I want to be a director there, and I want to retire by 50. And there are lots of, obviously, other little bits and pieces that I thought about along the way. It wasn't just about career, it was about family and everything else. But I was looking forward to having, you know, that sort of life and that sort of lifestyle. A couple of years after I started work, I met my soon-to-be beautiful wife, Susan, and life changed completely. I wasn't a Christian at that stage, but God met me through Susan, if you like, by coming here to Radio Baptist Church. This truly is my home church. It's where I came to faith all those years ago. Three kids later, never thought that we would have a large family. Wasn't certainly our last child, Christian, was a real gift from God. Never expected to actually have Christian either for us. Made redundant at 45 or whatever it was. God was good because actually I went into ministry and as I look back, I just seem to think to myself, life has not worked out the way in which I thought it would. What little did I know all those years ago when I first looked forward and thought about what it is that I want to be, where it is that I want to go, because life just isn't like that. You know, as I look back over my life, there have been lots of highs, and there have been lots of lows as well. Some really great times, but I have to say, some really tough times as well. And as much as I would have wished otherwise, there have certainly been periods of trials, of pains, and of really difficult circumstances. And that's my life. But I'm sure that for each and every one of us here, life probably hasn't worked out the way that we thought it would. That we've gone through stuff that we never thought that we would have to face. The simple truth is that life is often fragile. And as we journey through it, inevitably we will find ourselves dealing with things or perhaps situations that seem to engulf us, that seem to overwhelm us. And that if we have a faith, leave us crying out to God to understand why things happen the way that they have happened. Where is God in this? Where is he in this? And that's the experience of the prophet Jeremiah, whose words that we hear in the book of Lamentations. And I'm going to read to you just a couple of sections in chapter 3 of Lamentations, chapter 3. It says this: I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old, and he has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. And then in chapter 19, it goes on. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Because of the corrosive effect of sin in the life of the Israelites, in Judah and in Israel, God said that I am bringing my judgment upon you, that ultimately you will fall to the hand of the Babylonians, that the temple will be destroyed. Instead of repairing their relationship with God, instead of drawing close to God to find support and encouragement, what did they do? They turned and tried to make a relationship with Egypt to fight off the Babylonians, to fight off God's penalty, if you like, for their sin. And of course, ultimately, that ended in disaster for them. And the Babylonians did indeed take the people of Israel into captivity. The book of Lamentation is written by the prophet Jeremiah. It's a book of sorrow with all of its groaning and wailing and weeping. And it's Jeremiah's pain that mirrors that of the people that he came to actually share God's message with. He's living it. If you know anything about Jeremiah, this wasn't the life that he had expected. He was a Levite. He thought he was going to serve in the temple. And God said, no, Jeremiah, you're going to take my word to the people of Israel. Jeremiah never saw that coming. And actually, in all of the time that Jeremiah prophesied to Israel, he never saw anything other than destruction and penalty. He was actually martyred, they say, in Egypt as well. As I say, we live in a fallen world, don't we? We live in a fallen world, one that is fractured by the effects of selfishness and our own rebellion. We like to do the stuff that we want to do. We have our lives planned out as best we can, and we're going to follow that path. That's the way that we tend to work. That's human nature to a large extent. But that isn't the way that God intended for us to be or for his creation to be. We were created to have a relationship with him. The problem is when we go our own way, we see pain and suffering. We experience pain and suffering in our own lives. Sometimes it's because of the choices that we make. Sometimes it's others that do that as well. And if we're not in pain or suffering, there's a very good chance that each and every one of us knows someone who probably is and is still struggling with things. There are personal fears, aren't there? There are headaches and heartaches and loss. And quite often we think that we have to put on a brave face and pretend that we can manage on our own. We can manage our sufferings on our own. How often do we hear in the church fellowship people say, you know, God won't give you any more than you can handle? They say that meaning as a way of encouragement to us to keep persevering, to go on. But what it says is, you can do it, but you can make it on your own. You see, the verses that those words come from in 1 Corinthians 10:13 were never meant in the way in which we tend to use them these days. Actually, Paul was talking about temptation of sin. God will never put more in your way that you can't find a way out of, that you can resist the devil. The reality is that we all struggle with things in our lives from time to time. And the thing is that we don't need to struggle with them on our own. We need those around us to support us and encourage us. I thank God for the church family that we have, because we support and encourage one another. It's called fellowship. Really mindful of that story where Moses is overseeing a battle with the Israelites. And when he gets tired, he has to have his hands out to ensure that you know, the Israelite army maintains the upper hand. And when he gets tired and his arms start to fall, what happens? He gets some friends to come and hold his arms out for him. When we go through tough stuff, it's great to have people around us. God's family is meant to be that. Encourage one another, support one another. But also, we need Jesus Christ himself when we are struggling with the things that we struggle with. He's our sympathetic priest. He's a man of sorrows, the one who shouldered our grief, who bore our burdens to the cross at Calvary. The Christian faith is all about rejecting, moving away from our self-reliance, about doing it ourselves, but rather of saying, Lord, I need you because I can't do this. I can't endure this. And grasping the reality that there is a God who can and that there is a Savior who did. There is a God who can and a Savior who did. You know, if we could handle our own struggles, if we could handle those things that we really, really find so difficult to shake, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need his cross, his power, and his resurrection. But we do. But we do. We need his power and his mercy and his grace every day. But here's the thing that I reflected on from these readings that I took out of Lamentation. The first is that even though God is with us through the hardships, through the ups and downs, through the struggles, he doesn't necessarily always take us out of those struggles. He doesn't change the situation immediately. Jeremiah was a faithful man of God. He had suffered for decades. And as he calls out to God in the midst of it all, he says, though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayers. Jeremiah feels like God just isn't listening to him. And what's worse is he's not responding in the way that Jeremiah wants. He's not sure how much longer he can go on. He's not sure how much longer he can hold up. Do any of us feel that way this evening? Have any of us been there where we just struggle to go on? How long do we have to face this? Surely there must be a way out. Perhaps I've uttered these prayers as well. Perhaps this is where some of us find ourselves today. But Jeremiah shows us that it's okay to cry out to God. For when we lament, we not only get the things off of our chest that are on our heart that really burdens us. But you know what? We get our eyes back on God. We lift our eyes up from the situation and back to God. Jeremiah goes on to say, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for him. Jeremiah saw one hope in all of the sin and the sorrow that surrounded him and that he found in his own life. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions, they never fail. God willingly responds with help when we ask him, in his perfect time and in his perfect way. But God is faithful. God is faithful. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever it is that you have going through, whatever it is that you've gone through, whatever it is that you might face in the coming days and weeks, God is faithful. And actually, when we call to mind, just as Jeremiah called to mind in speaking out those words, those things that God has done in his life, the way in which he has provided food, shelter, protected him, and so much more. So it is that we can think about the things that quite often we don't think about. God is faithful. Think of the prayers that he may have answered for you over your lifetime. God is faithful. And so whatever we go through, he will continue to be faithful. Jeremiah knew of God's faithfulness. He'd experienced it for himself. God had promised punishment would follow the Israelites' disobedience. And it did. God's word came about through Babylon, through the Babylonians. But God also promised to restore Israel as well. And even though Jeremiah never experienced that in his lifetime, God was faithful to that promise as well. God was faithful to that promise as well. Like the manna given to the Israelites in the desert, God gives us the strength that we need today. God is faithful. God is faithful. Just like the manna that he gave the Israelites in the Exodus, so it is that God gives us what we need for today. We can't store it up. We can't carry it over. Do you remember the story in Exodus? The manna came every day. God's blessing was new every day. If you tried to store the manna up, it would go off. We rely on God each and every day. God gives us the strength that we need for each day and every day. We can't store it up. It's renewed each and every day. So that means for each and every one of us that we need to be filled afresh every day with the Holy Spirit, renewed, restored, empowered, because we leak. We leak the Holy Spirit because of our actions, because of sometimes the things that we do. We need topping up each and every day. But the good news is that when we ask for an infilling of the Spirit, when we ask Jesus to come and be more present in our lives, when we take our eyes away from our problems perhaps, or away from ourselves and focus on him, then we find strength to endure. We find strength for the day. God's word tells us that it's renewed every morning, and God is faithful to his word. And so as we trust in God's faithfulness day by day, we can be confident about his promises in the future. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you think God is perhaps leading you. But when we look to the cross, it's such a powerful reminder of the fact that God will be faithful to his promise in the future as well as today. Jesus' body broken for you and for me, nailed to a cross for all the things that we have done wrong, all the things that we will do wrong as well. Why? Because in our brokenness, when we look to Jesus, when we draw close to Jesus, when we ask him into our lives, he makes us whole. He makes us whole. In our brokenness, we are made whole again through Jesus. Jesus was broken that we might be whole. Jesus' blood poured out for us that new covenant of grace and mercy. The hope of the gospel, sustaining us in our suffering when we call out to him in our struggles, in our anxieties, in those things that weigh us down. We remember the steadfast love of the Lord, our crucified and risen Saviour, and we remind ourselves again of the empty tomb. God is faithful. God is faithful. And one day he will return. One day he will make everything new again. He will restore it all. In the meantime, he leaves us his Holy Spirit to help us through each and every day. That's good news. So God didn't come to eliminate the storms in life. We'll continue to go up and down in the valleys and on the mountaintops, and we might have some periods of peace and calm, but they tend to be fairly short-lived. But he did come that through each and every storm, each and every period of trouble, he came to fill it with his presence and with his power. What life does to us depends on what life finds in us. Faith is a deliberate choice to believe in God and to trust him every step of the way, day by day. Day by day. So all I would say this evening is perhaps you're struggling with things. Perhaps there are things that are weighing you down. Perhaps there are things that you've just been waiting for an answer to prayer for so long. God, why are you not listening to me? Why isn't this working out in the way that I want? I say those prayers sometimes. I say those words. And perhaps they leave you feeling exhausted. Perhaps they leave you feeling dry in your faith. Perhaps you feel distant from God even. These words make it clear. Jesus invites all who would trust and believe in him to draw close to him, to be filled by him again. And as you do so, don't be afraid to cry out in your heart, laying your burdens at the foot of the cross, resting your hope in him. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed by those things that we struggle with. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not left alone to deal with life and all of its complexities on our own. For his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And for each and every one of us today, as I think on these words, I would say, trust in him. He is faithful, but know that his blessings are renewed every morning, that you need to be topped up every morning. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the one who was and is and will come again, because he is faithful. But he doesn't leave us nor forsake us, and nothing removes us from his love. No matter what you go through, Jesus will give you enough grace for each day and every day, if we would but humble ourselves and turn our eyes afresh to him each and every day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your word says quite clearly that we can come and just share all that is within us before you. That, Lord, you don't judge us for the words. You're too big a God to be offended by what we say necessarily. When we groan from our heart, Lord, you already know how we feel. But thank you that you hear us. And thank you that as we bring that to you. So it is that you work through those prayers to change us and to change the situation. Lord, help us to be content in not understanding everything. Help us to be content this morning to allow you, or this evening, to allow you to have authority in our lives. Lord, we're sorry when we try and plan everything to the finest detail, because our ways are not your ways. And our timing is not your timing. You are above those things, and you are perfect. But Lord, would you help us this evening to continue to keep our eyes focused on you, fixed on you. Help us to come back to that well of living water, that spring of living water each and every day. Because when we do that, we know that you will give us all that we need for that day and that day alone. Help us to put our faith and our trust in you. And Lord, I thank you that when we do that, so it is that you bless us abundantly. We stand here this evening knowing that you are faithful, that you have been faithful, and that you will continue to be faithful. So Lord, we thank you. We celebrate that. We rejoice in that. Even though we may go through tough stuff, thank you that you don't leave us on our own, but you fill those voids, you fill those situations with your presence when we ask you to as well. Lord, we may have to walk through that valley, but we don't do it alone. So help us this evening, Lord, to hear your voice afresh. Help us this evening, Lord, to have the humility to come before you and to share what's truly on our hearts. Help us this evening, Lord, to not feel that we have to put on that brave face and to shoulder the burdens that we have, but we can lay it down before your cross, knowing that you have dealt with it all, and one day you'll put it all right according to your perfection. But in the meantime, Lord, you will answer us, you will sustain us, you will provide for us, and in some ways you will miraculously answer our prayers when it's according to your perfect plan and will. Help us this evening, Lord, just simply to trust in you for each and every day.